Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I am your brother, your servant in Christ, and I am ecstatic about being in studio on this Saturday morning, April Fool's Day. And it's, we're not fools here. We're not fools. You can't fool us. And it seems like in the church, particularly in the black church, it seems like it's April Fool's Day every day because they're fooling and they're conning people and they're hoodwinking people every single day. But that's why we come on the air. We come on the air to stop the foolishness, to stop it, to bring it to a grinding halt. And we have a wonderful, wonderful broadcast for you. Before I go on, before I actually get into the meat of the broadcast, Let me say to you that first and foremost, we had a great time, a wonderful time, yesterday on the broadcast. As you know, the Friday night broadcast is a call-in show, and whether people call in or not, it's a call-in show. And yesterday, we started a new series entitled The Prophetess of the Mystery of Iniquity, The Prophetess. And you'll be surprised, it's not Joyce Myers, and it's not Paula White, and it's not Juanita Bynum, and it's not Marilyn Hickley, and it's not Dana Muldoon. It's not any of the so-called female preachers of today. No. We learned yesterday, because Sister Marie, our co-host and phenomenal researcher, introduced us to a lady, to a woman, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to tune in or to listen to the broadcast that we did yesterday. In case you missed it, it's entitled, the broadcast is entitled, The Prophetess of the Mystery of Iniquity. You got to hear that two-hour broadcast. It is phenomenal, and it's just part one. Sister Marie's coming back next Friday, and the Friday after that, we're just going to keep doing different parts to this series. And the Holy Ghost is going to tell Sister Marie when she needs to end the series. But I can tell you, yesterday was phenomenal. It was mind-blowing. You just need to listen to that broadcast in case you missed it. And I don't know how you can miss it, because it is the highlight. That Friday night broadcast, it is the highlight of the Reformation News broadcast every Friday. So you don't want to miss any one of them, and you certainly don't want to miss yesterday's broadcast. Also, let me say that we are going to be releasing the third book in this Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. You know that we have 12 books scheduled to come out. 12 in total. 12 books. We've already released Jackass Church Bishops. We've already released Nehushtan Church Bishops. Well, the third book is going to be released Monday, May the 8th. Monday, May the 8th. And that book is called Draconian Tsunami, based on Revelation chapter 12, verse 15, where the serpent, speaking of Satan, did cast out of his mouth, as it was a flood, that by means of this flood or this tsunami, the woman, the church, might be carried away, might be wiped off the face of the earth. And again, that is the third book, the third installment in this 12-book series of the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church, and you don't want to miss that book. It is scheduled to be released Monday, May the 8th. Monday, May the 8th. So I'm ecstatic. I'm excited. And the Lord is just doing some phenomenal things with us here in the ministry. And I, Radio Reformer, now take great joy in presenting to you the 13th proposition, And we're promising to release 95 propositions, 95 sizzling bullet points, 95 short statements that are designed to get you to think outside the box, because bishops and the archbishops in the black church who are dressed in purple and in scarlet want to enslave your mind. They don't want you to think for yourself. They want to capture your mind and enslave it. But we want you to think outside the box. They're telling you to think within these parameters, and we're telling you no. We want you to think outside the box. So we have provided you with 12 bullet points thus far. Today will be number 13, And so let me read number 12 to you, because number 12 and number 13 are connected. Number 12 and number 13 go hand in hand, although they each require their own broadcast. All right. So number 12, which we did a couple of days ago, which we did on Thursday, reads like this. The Joint College of African American Bishops, being an institution created solely by man and for the glory of man, is destined to get such spiritual diseases as the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia nehushtan, which are the combined causes of spiritual death among the members of this misguided association. So I've coined the phrase the purple plague. I've coined the phrase scarlet fever. I've coined the phrase dementia nehushtan. And what is the purple plague, you ask, by way of review? Well, the purple plague is the first rung on the Episcopal ladder of Babel. It is the first rung. Well, when you join the Joint College of African American Bishops, you become a bishop. And what is the color of bishops? Purple. Romish purple or English purple. Makes no difference. Purple, whether it's Anglican purple, the English purple, or the Romish or Roman Catholic purple, they're both purple and they're both from hell. So that's the first disease you get. You get the itch to become a bishop, and then when you become a bishop, you get purple. You get purple fever, the purple plague. Then the second fever you get is scarlet fever. That's when you get the itch. When you've been a bishop for a while and you're tired of being a bishop, now you want to move up the ranks and you want more prominence because you see some of your friends getting scarlet fever and scratching that itch, and that itch would be the archbishopric. The archbishopric. So that's scarlet fever, you see. And remember, it's a Tower of Babel. It's, you know, it's a spiral tower where you just keep going. The idea is you're supposed to go higher and higher and higher. So you start out with the purple plague, but you can't, you're not going to be satisfied after a couple of years. After being dressed in purple, you're going to want to go higher. So you go from the purple plague, and then you get the itch, you get the scarlet fever, and then that's when you become an archbishop-elect or archbishop-designate, and then they make you an archbishop. Now, once you become an archbishop, the next thing in the African-American church is for you to become a god. And that's when you lose your mind, when you get dementia nehushtan. When you actually think that you're all that you are a little god. So you go from bishop, purple plague, to archbishop, scarlet fever, to little god, that's dementia nehushtan. And when you combine the three, when you combine purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia nehushtan, these are the combined causes of spiritual death among the members of this misguided association known to us as the Joint College of African American Bishops. That's why the black church is dying right before our very eyes. Dying. It's dying. Why? Because these leaders are spiritually dead. And what killed them? The purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia nehushtan. That's what's killed them off. And they're dying. They've gone crazy. They have gone crazy. Now, proposition number 13. It is undeniable that the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia nehushtan has reached pandemic levels, crippling the African American church for decades to come. It is undeniable. When you look at the black church today, what do you see? Well, some have the purple plague. Others have scarlet fever. Others have reached dementia nehushtan. And all of these three diseases in the black church, spiritual diseases at that, have reached pandemic levels. What do I mean by pandemic levels? Well, an epidemic is when a disease is local. Let's say we say, well, let's just say that Cleveland, Ohio, is suffering from an epidemic of XYZ, all right? Now, when an epidemic becomes a pandemic, what we're saying is it went from being a local disease now to being a global disease. So I would argue, and no one can dare deny this, that this the purple plague, scarlet fever, and dementia Nehushtan has reached pandemic levels. It has gone global. Crippling what? The African-American church. It's going to cripple the church. Why? Because it has sick leaders. The black church has sick, spiritually sick leaders. And when you have sick leadership, when you have disease-carrying leaders, then it will cripple the African-American church because it is a body. The African-American church is a body. And when you get three diseases in a body, that's it. You're going to be bedridden. So it's going to cripple the African-American church for decades to come. Why? Well, because now you need to raise up a new crop of leaders, and that's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time. But that's what happened when these four leaders mentioned in the website, the four leaders mentioned in the book, The Bishopric, A Handbook for Creating Episcopacy in the African-American Pentecostal Church, Those four men opened the door to the devil, opened the door to the Roman/Anglican church, and they came in bringing diseases. What were the diseases? The purple plague. What was the other disease? Scarlet fever. What was the other disease? Dementia Nehushtan. And this thing has spread throughout the black church. So much so that when you have African-American preachers traveling to Europe, they are taking the disease to Europe, because now when you travel overseas, you actually see churches in those countries mimicking the black church in America in wanting to have bishops and archbishops and suffragan bishops. And folks, it's reached a pandemic level. It's global now. It's global, global, global. You look at the preachers now in Africa, they're archbishops, they're bishops. South Africa, they're bishops, archbishops. There isn't no one's a pastor anymore. No one's a pastor. You either have to be a bishop or an archbishop. It's not good enough. You see, everybody's got the purple plague or scarlet fever or dementia Nehushtan, where they walk around thinking that they're little itty-bitty gods. And when Nimrod died, remember Nimrod the rebel? When he died, what did the people of Babylon do? They canonized him. They turned him into a god. Just like the Roman Catholic Church took John Paul II and canonized him and turned him into a saint. That's right. That's how crazy things have gotten. So now, let me play some audio for you, because I think the best way to convince you that this thing has reached pandemic levels, the best way for me to prove this to you is to just play some clips. And here are some clips. I have four clips to show you that this thing has reached a pandemic level. And then I have two following clips to show you that the pandemic carries with it rebellion. So here is one YouTube video. It's called Beware of Fake Bishops. Beware of Fake Bishops. And this is an African-American sister warning the body of Christ to beware of fake bishops.
Hey, God bless you, my friend and sister Sharon. And today, I got my trumpet out, The Spirit of God wants to speak and warn the body of Christ and to call some of us back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, concerning the false office of bishops that has become an epidemic of young men in their...
Now, see, it's not epidemic. That's where I would disagree with... I would respectfully disagree with my dear sister. It's not epidemic because epidemic means it's global. That means that this organization, which... And when I refer to this organization, I'm referring to the Joint College of African American Bishops. Well, it's just in Cleveland, Ohio. So if it was an epidemic, it would just be in Cleveland, Ohio. But now it's a pandemic. You find it in all 50 states. You find it in the Caribbean. You find it in Africa. You find it in Europe. I mean, England, you can't go to a black church in England and not see that everybody there is called the bishop. There's no pastors anymore. Everybody's a bishop or an archbishop. So it's a pandemic. It's global.
Hey, God bless you, my friend and sister Sharon. And today I got my trumpet out. The Spirit of God wants to speak and warn the body of Christ and to call some of us back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, concerning the false office of bishops that has become an epidemic of young men in their 30s, 20s, 40s, calling themselves bishops. Now, also, my friend, this fake, false, pseudo office of authority has been lifted up in such a way that many have gone the way of Balaam, which is a preacher or a so-called prophet or apostle or a person that claims they speak on God's behalf, but they are really doing it for the money. And what we see is that many of these fake bishops, oftentimes these are 20, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, even 50 is not considered an elder. This word elder and bishop is biblically interchangeable, and it meant the same thing. A bishop, my friend, in the Bible, as Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, who was the young pastor in the church of Ephesus, he warned him, do not put a novice in a position of authority, lest they become lifted up with pride and they receive the same punishment of Satan. They will be cast away, my friend, because God hates pride. And what we see with all these fake bishops, my friend, it is just mind-blowing. But the word of the Lord today is, beware. My friend, if you go to a church or if you are a part of a denomination where they have lifted up these pseudo-fake bishops, run for your life. What happens, my friend, when you are in this movement of this fake authority that these people have heaped onto themselves, walking around in their long flowing robes, having all of these ceremonial celebrations, lifting each other up, bowing and worshiping one another, you will always see the monkey see, monkey do. Bishop, I want to be just like you. You will always see young men and women who are just desiring to be just like their bishops, and they will call them their bishop and their fathers in the faith, totally in contradiction with the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that told us, do not call any man your father on this earth. You don't call another man your father. You have a father, your heavenly father. And Jesus also told us, unless that person birthed you, they're not your father. A father is a person of source. It means source. Our Heavenly Father is our source. So when you take another person who claim that Jesus sent them, and you do what they call submit to their authority because they're the bishop, my friend, you have removed yourself from the lordship of Christ. And oftentimes, my friend, see, the scriptures teach us, and I need you to hear me, my friend, because.
All right, we're gonna end it there. So you got it, right? Everybody's getting the itch. Everybody's getting the purple fever. Everybody wants to be a bishop, and they're all young. And they're okay. So now here's another clip. Here's another clip. And this one is entitled. This one is by Brother TJ from Church Folk Revolution, and he's going to be talking about Bishop Neil Ellis making Juanita Bynum a bishop. Listen to this.
Good morning, Church Folk Revolution. PimpPreacher.com is your boy, TJ. Coming to you with another video at PimpPreacher.com. Still love my banner, right? Want to talk to you today about Neil Ellis, right? This bishop, the so-called Bishop Neil Ellis, right? And his decision to make Juanita Bynum a bishop. That's right. The bishop factory is still cranking them out. Right? And this decision, we found out about this 2 days ago, right? From one of Juanita Bynum's sites. Yeah, you know, someone tagged me in it from one of her sites. Okay, TJ, you got to check this out. Neil Ellis just, you know, he's going to make Juanita Bynum part of the class of 2016. Right? She's going to be a faith bishop too. And, you know, like I said on our radio show, she's all excited. You know, she's excited. Oh, I'm going to be a bishop. And I'm sitting here saying, the bishop over what? You know, what are you going to be a bishop of? That was my first question. And my second question is, who gave Neil Ellis any type of authority to create a bishop or to consecrate a bishop? You know, this, guys, this is the ridiculous scam of church right here. You're watching it play out. You're watching this guy, Neil Ellis, issue out these titles. You know, he's like, Neil Ellis is like a blackjack dealer, right? He's just dealing these things out. He's just dealing these titles, and whoever wants a title right now, they can have one. We watch a gospel singer turn pastor become bishop, right? All over the span of a year. You know, this fast track to bishop.
And that's what I call the purple plague. And it's folks, it's running rampant in the black church, the purple plague. I mean, people just want to be dressed in the bishop's clothes, in the bishop's colors. They want to sport the Roman purple. That's what they want to do. It's like a fever. They go crazy over it. It's like they become focused on this thing, and that's what the purple plague does. It turns you insane. And like I said, this thing is not an epidemic. It is a pandemic, because this guy Neil Ellis, he's in Barbados. His headquarters is in Barbados. And this guy now he's setting up bishops in, I think, over 50 countries in the world. Neil Ellis, his organization, Global United, has now established itself in 50 countries in the world. Well, as Brother TJ said, he's ordaining bishops because they're part of Global United. It's a bishop factory.
And, you know, we've had countless conversations about we need a bynum, and countless conversations about Marvin Sapp, but this conversation really this morning is about this guy, Neil Ellis. For those of you who don't know him, this was the dude that was right up under Paul Morton, and then Paul Morton, over a year or so ago, selected this Bishop Walker guy to take over for him. And this little hurt scorn guy, you know, is another one of these scorn side chicks, Neil Ellis. Yeah, you can see how devastated he was when Paul Morton made the announcement that Walker was going to be the new presiding bishop of the Full Gospel nonsense, the Full Gospel Baptist Fellowship, right? So, because Paul Morton's retiring, right? So Neil Ellis just automatically assumed that he was going to get it, right? Anybody who kissed that much butt for that long should get it, you know, in church world. But Paul Morton broke all of the normal rules of church and gave it to somebody else, and this guy breaks off and goes starts his own thing. So out of bitterness and hurt, you get this United Global denomination, right? That's where it comes. It came out of bitterness and hurt, right? Sort of like an ex-girlfriend starting a church. What are they going to preach about, you know? And not only did he, because he has a right, if you want to.
Okay, that'll be enough of that. As you can see, people are just breaking off, starting their own organization, starting their own joint college, and then they start to crank out bishops. Because, you know, that's how you get people to join your organization. That's how you get them to leave another organization and join you in helping you build your Episcopal Babel. And what it is you promise young pastors or person like Juanita Bynum to be made into a bishop. So they jump ship. They're working on someone's Episcopal Babel, but they're just pastor. But you get them to work on your Episcopal Babel, you get them to join your organization, and the way you do so is you say, well, you're a pastor over there, but I'll make you a bishop over here, and those people get the fever, they get the purple plague, and before you know it, they're over here working with Neil Ellis and building his Tower of Babel. And that's what they're doing. And that's what the whole black church in America and around the world, for that matter, they're just, everybody wants, every pastor now has got the purple plague. And then those who had the purple plague, like Neil Ellis, because Neil Ellis was a bishop for a long time. Now he's got scarlet fever because he's got to move up. Now he's the primary Nimrod. So he has to be an archbishop now. See how it works? And then when you die like Eddie Long, then the church canonizes you and turns you into a saint. Then you become a god. You see how it works, my brothers and sisters? And that's what the black church is today. That's what it's all about. It's consumed with this disease. It's just consumed. Now, here's another clip. And this is a preacher, a female preacher. And she's just going to talk about what's going on in the black church with these bishops. Here it is. It's not long. It's only 2 minutes long.
Just because you saved up on your change to get you a cross and a red purple shirt.
Talking about these consecration services that are going on everywhere. They're laying hands on, they're making bishops, they're cranking them out like TJ was saying. They're cranking them out. It's a bishop's factory. But there's a reason. There's a reason why they're cranking them out. Because this is big money. This is big money. You see, for you, if you consecrate someone to the bishopric, they got to pay you. See, it's a moneymaker for the Nimrods. For the Nimrods, it's become a moneymaker. Here it is again.
Just because you saved up on your change to get you a cross and a red purple shirt, and you should see them, y'all, they be all done up from head to... And God is going to get the leaders. God is going to get the fathers of the church for giving these idiots this kind of control. You put your hands on him and you knew he wasn't worth it.
Did you hear that? They will consecrate you for $10,000. And I know this to be true. I spoke to a man who was a bishop, and he told me it cost him $10,000. He had to give the chief consecrator $4,000, and then he had to give the two co-consecrators $3,000 each. Now, you know I don't lie. You know I don't lie. One bishop told me it cost them, and signatures alone, because, you know, they have to sign your parchment. They have to sign your certificate. Well, he said, I had to give the chief consecrator $4,000. And he didn't name the consecrators. He didn't give me the three names. He just said, I had to pay one guy, the chief guy, the prominent one. I had to give him $4,000 for him to put his signature on my document. Then I had two co-consecrators because Roman Catholic canon law states three consecrators, one chief consecrator and two co-consecrators. And I know that to be true because that's in Roman. I have every book written on Roman Catholic canon law. I have those books. My library shelves are lined with those books. And when you look at the consecration of a bishop, yes, you need to have a minimum of one chief consecrator and two co-consecrators. And their signature needs to be on the degree, on the parchment. Well, when you add up the $4,000 to the chief consecrator and $3,000 apiece to two co-consecrators, that's $10,000. So this, I know this sister ain't lying because someone let me in on the little secret. Now you know why they're cranking them out. Now you know why it's a bishop factory. Now you know why it's an elevation mill. Here she is again.
Because now it's a money thing. I'm telling y'all what I know, that there are those who will consecrate you for $10,000. And if you got the money, they will consecrate you next week.
Yeah, if you got the money and if you got the purple fever. See, if you got the purple plague, if you got the itch to be made a bishop and you got $10,000, which is easy to get because all you have to do is fleece your flock, and these black preachers are doing that to their churches anyway. They're doing that anyway. They're fleecing their flocks like it's going out of style. So $10,000 for any pastor is, please, that's peanuts. Peanuts. And if he gets the purple plague and he's itching to be made a bishop, well, he can just schedule, you know, three consecrators to come in, and it'll cost him $10,000. Now, I don't know if that's the case with all of these. I can't say that because I only spoke to one person who who let me in on the little secret. And this sister obviously heard about the little secret, and she's not, I mean, I heard it 3,000 miles away from where she is. In other words, my source is 3,000 miles away from where this woman is. So it's a common practice. It's a common practice, that $10,000. And I'm sure that the more prominent the chief consecrator and the co-consecrators are, it's more than $10,000. It's more than $10,000. I'm trying to get $10,000 so that I can have a prayer chapel. We're doing three prayer meetings a day, early morning prayer, noontime prayer, and early evening prayer. And I need to buy a single wide trailer so that I can turn it into a prayer chapel because we don't have any room. I need a single wide trailer so that I can hook it up. I need $10,000, not for a consecration. No. I need it because we have limited space. And I need $10,000, but it's for a prayer chapel. It's so that because right now we can only have 3 hours of prayer because we're using the same facility for other things. So in one group, out another group. In one group, that's how we're using this one building. But if I had $10,000, I could have 24 hours prayer. That's why I want a prayer chapel, so that there can be 24, instead of just 3 hours, hopefully 24 hours. And these guys are doling out $10,000 like it's water. And to use it on themselves. Not on God's people. Please, if somebody out there has $10,000, contact me. We can put it to great use for the Lord. Great use for the Lord.
And if you got the money, they will consecrate you next week.
Clip. Now, as we consider the testimony of two men, these are the two founding people. These are two of the four men that founded this Joint College of African American Bishops. Now, here's one guy. Here's the main guy. He's consecrating someone, and when he's consecrating this person, he's talking about his coat of arms. His coat, all of these bishops had a coat of arms, And they claim to be the successors of Christ and the apostles, yet none of the apostles and Christ didn't have coat of arms. A coat of arms is what we call heraldry. This is the stuff of kings. So they're claiming to be the kings of the church. The kings, that's why they dress like kings. That's why they have gold chains and signet rings. And I mean, they ride Bentleys and they live like, you know, high on the hog. So here's a guy saying, when I consecrate someone, I give them my coat of arms. In other words, I allow them to wear my coat of arms because this will signal to the Christian world that I ordained them. And then he goes on to say that there's two guys that he's trying to get his coat of arms from, and the reason why he's trying to get them back is because they're heretics. So here he is. And I'm playing this because I want to show you how they're all rebels. The four men who started this thing were rebels. Their disciples are rebels. And why rebels? Well, because they come from Nimrod. Nimrod means the rebel. The rebel. You see, it's an episcopal babble. All of these people involved in this are in rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. So here is this guy making this person a bishop, and listen to him talk about his coat of arms and lamenting the fact that there are two rascals out there whom he ordained as bishop. He consecrated them as bishops, and they're rascals now, and they won't obey him, and they won't return his coat of arms.
And I don't give my coat of arms to everybody. I got two people I gave them to. I asked for them back, but they won't give them back to me.
See, he's got two people he gave his coat of arms to, and he wants it back because they're rascals. They're not behaving themselves. And what did they tell him? You're not getting it back. Who are you? Well, I'm the Metropolitan. Big deal. You see, when you act in rebellion, you get rebellion back. Let me play that for you again.
The dove with the olive branch, the word, and so, except the cross of Jesus Christ, who is the daughter of McKinley, back, but they won't give him back to me. To everybody. I got two people I gave him to. I asked for him back, but they won't give him back to me.
And that's not a laughing matter. Two people he consecrated, because he's the chief consecrator, and everybody seeks him out. That he is everybody's first preference. And he's been giving out his coat of arms like it's going out of style. And he's asked two people to give him back because they ain't doing the right thing according to him. But they won't listen to him. But I thought he was the Metropolitan. I thought he was the chief prelate. Well, when you're a Nimrod, you breed Nimrods. Here is the other guy who started this. Here's another guy who started this. He's another one of the four. And he's on the Lexi show. And here he is lamenting the fact that people are out there now, and by people we mean bishops, who are doing their own thing, who are acting in rebellion. Here he is lamenting the fact that he can't control them and the others in the organization can't control them because this thing has become... Listen, you can't control disease. You know, a pandemic, right, is a disease that's local. But when it becomes an epidemic is a disease that has been localized. Now, when it gets out of control, it becomes a pandemic. And these guys thought that they can control the epidemic that they started, and they thought they can control it. But it, I mean, It's out of control now. So here is this second guy in that group of four who started the whole mess.
Well, it's totally out of order, and that's what's happening. I'll deal with the bishop, first of all, because I think that is totally out of order. If that is going to happen, the title, there has to be somebody who validates you, first of all, and I really believe that the validation begins.
In other words, there's got to be someone who coughs up the $10,000. See, you understand what I'm saying? They thought they had a franchise. They thought they had a moneymaker. Well, now it's out of control, and people are doing their own thing. People have opened up their own. It's like drug dealers. You got a drug dealer on one corner, and then another drug dealer goes down the road and opens up another drug point, and that's what it is. And then they start shooting at each other. Why? Because you're cutting into my competition. These guys are just mad because there's no control. Because they thought they could control it. They thought they could manage it. But it's out of control. It's a pandemic.
Out of order. And that's what's happening. I'll deal with the bishop, first of all, because I think that is totally out of order. If that is going to happen, the title, there has to be somebody who validates you, first of all, and I really believe that the validation begins even with your church. You have to, first of all, have a successful church and the ability to lead other pastors. In full gospel, a bishop for us is a pastor's pastor.
Well, that's not even biblical. That's not the biblical definition of a bishop. That's a man-made definition of a bishop. But that's not biblical.
So if you're not a successful pastor and can't lead pastors, then you should not have the title of bishop. And what's happening, people are going online, getting papers, breaking the rules. I mean, we've had people.
Oh, people are going online and breaking the rules. The rules that you four guys set up. But you see, that's what happens when people get crazy. You know, when you get a disease, a pandemic doesn't obey borders. A pandemic is oblivious to borders. You know, you can start out in Cleveland, Ohio, but as this thing spreads, and that's what happens, it spreads, it doesn't obey rules. It doesn't abide by the rules. And these guys thought that they were just going to, you know, control this thing. But that purple plague, that is a strong thing. That scarlet fever, that dementia in the Houston, no, you can't control that. And they thought they could control, and that's why they're mad. That's why they're mad.
Church. You have to, first of all, have a successful church and the ability to lead other pastors. In full gospel, a bishop for us is a pastor's pastor. So if you're not a successful pastor and can't lead pastors, then you should not have the title of bishop. And what's happening, people are going online, getting papers, breaking the rules. I mean, we've had people get out of our fellowship and just say, I want to be a bishop, because, you know, there's a process that you have to go through.
And it took too long.
Yes, it took too long, and I have to do it now. And so what happens in the body of Christ compared to the army, you don't put on a general's uniform, you know, when you're a sergeant.
You just don't
do that, and you have to be validated. And I think it's happened a lot when we started, because ours grew so quick, and you talk about a Baptist bishop.
Did you hear that? Our organization grew quick. Why? Because there were people getting the fever. Now, they got the fever, and it was okay for them. They got the fever. They got scarlet fever. They got the purple plague, and it was okay for them to get it. But now that they're mad because other people are getting it fast. Go figure.
Army, you don't put on a general's uniform. You know, when you're a sergeant, you just don't do that, and you have to be validated. And I think it's happened a lot when we started, because ours grew so quick, and you talk about a Baptist bishop. I mean, that was just totally different. But it's become a fad now, and it's not supposed to happen that way. I had to even go back to my roots to be validated, even though pastors were joining across the country. Even before I became bishop, I knew that I was validated in that area as it relates to covering pastors. But I had to go to the next step, back to my roots.
Hmm.
My brother was a bishop in Church of God in Christ.
Okay.
And then Bishop Charles Blakes, you know, he preached my consecration service.
Wow.
So you go back, because there were no Baptist bishops.
Hmm.
So then I know, in order for me to be validated properly, I had to go back to my roots in order for it to happen. But now people just do what they want to do. And when I saw this fad coming about, even in my office, my executive assistant, when somebody would just say, you know, bishop is calling, I mean, I'll put it through right away, but not now. It is just totally out of order. Some people who have not experienced success in their own life, who don't have the ability to lead others, really has no business being a bishop.
Yeah. When you say success, they hadn't found success.
You see, so they're mad because they can't control it. They're mad because this was a moneymaker. They're mad because they're not doing the consecrations, which means they're being cut out of the money flow. And that's what this is, folks. Here's another clip. Here's another person on YouTube talking about this crazy thing on this bishop fad. It's a bishop fad. Here it is.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you watching. You know I do. I just have a question, because I watched this Lexi video on illegitimate bishops, and I just have a question. That's all. That's all. I'm not going to just go into it too deep. I'm not going to start picking everything apart. I'm just not going to do that. You know, I do that a lot, I know. But I just have a question on this. That's all. That's all. Just a question. Now, you can watch the link. It's posted below, and maybe perhaps be able to answer my question. But my question is that, you know, these bishops are on this panel talking to Lexi, and she's interviewing them, so forth and so on, this, that, and the third. And they're talking about, you know, illegitimate bishops, those who go online and get a bishop license just through paying for it online. And so my question is, after listening to these bishops and their reasoning why that was not sufficient enough to become a bishop, my question is, who are the illegitimate bishops? Because, you see, one of these bishops in particular, it wasn't Morton, it wasn't Love, it was the other one. I can't call his name, but just look at the link below. He says that he makes sure that anybody who comes to his church and they want to be a bishop, he makes sure that they have had hands laid on them through the succession, or rather through the line of the Apostle Peter. And he's an African-American brother. Praise the Lord. And my question is, brother, you can't even trace your lineage, your own lineage, back to Africa some couple hundred years ago. And now you're going to expect somebody to trace their lineage as far as being a bishop and hands laid on them back to the Apostle Peter?
You see what the sister's saying is so true. Now, here's a black man who can't trace. He don't know. Now, he knows he comes from Africa. I mean, obviously, he's African-American. His roots are in Africa, but he doesn't have any succession chart going back, what, 400 or 500 years. He doesn't have a succession chart. He has none, right? Now, that's 500 years. And then they want us to believe that they have a succession chart going back 2,000 years. when they can't even produce a succession chart for 500 years. You see, this sister's thinking logically, logically, and that's what they don't want you to do. They don't want you to think outside the box that they created. They want you to think inside of their box. They want you to be stupid.
Expect somebody to trace their lineage as far as being a bishop and hands laid on them back to the Apostle Peter? And for the other two bishops on the panel not to chime in and say, hey, oh, wait a minute, brother, oh, wait a minute, you're embarrassing us. You know, hold on, you're speaking out of turn here, go sit down somewhere. You know, for them not to chime in and say something just kind of maybe fix it up or something. You know, you can fix things up and say, you know, brother, let me just help you out on that, brother. You know, they said nothing, and for the, because they did not say anything in response to this crazy statement that this man made, I'm just wondering, are maybe, perhaps, they illegitimate bishops as well?
Of course they are, because they're all drinking the Roman Catholic Kool-Aid. They're all illegitimate, because why are you tracing yourself back to the Church of Rome or to the Anglican Church, which is my argument? If you are a pastor, you trace yourself back to Christ, not some organization that has a human head, because the head of the Roman Catholic Church, as we have already discussed, is the Pope, and the head of the Anglican Church is Queen Elizabeth II. So they're part of a church, as they state in their documents, we're both Anglican and Romish. So they're part of a two-headed monster, and the Joint College of African American Bishops is simply the little blackhead. It's the blackhead, the blasphemous little blackhead, and that's it. Folks, look, and as I proved today, it's a pandemic. It's global. It's out of control. It's out of control. It's out of control. This Episcopal babble, which is really, it takes you nowhere because you're nobody. When you start going up, when you start ascending this Episcopal babble, it goes nowhere because it's fake. It's bogus. Like the sister says, they're illegitimate bishops. The whole tower is illegitimate.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you watching. You know I do. I just have a question. Because I watched this Lexi video on illegitimate bishops, and I just have a question. That's all. That's all. I'm not going to just go into it too deep. I'm not going to start picking everything apart. I'm just not going to do that. You know, I do that a lot, I know. But I just have a question on this. That's all. That's all. Just a question. Now, you can watch the link. It's posted below, and maybe perhaps be able to answer my question. But my question is that, you know, these bishops are on this panel talking to Lexi, and she's interviewing them, so forth and so on, this, that, and the third. And they're talking about, you know, illegitimate bishops, those who go online and get a bishop license just through paying for it online. And so my question is, after listening to these bishops and their reasoning why that was not sufficient enough to become a bishop, my question is, who are the illegitimate bishops? Because, you see, one of these bishops in particular, it wasn't Morton, it wasn't Love, it was the other one. I can't call his name, but just look at the link below. He says that he makes sure that anybody who comes to his church and they want to be a bishop, he makes sure that they have had hands laid on them through the succession, or rather, through the line of the Apostle Peter. And he's an African-American brother. Praise the Lord. And my question is, brother, you can't even trace your lineage, your own lineage, back to Africa some couple hundred years ago. And now you're going to expect somebody to trace their lineage as far as being a bishop and hands laid on them back to the Apostle Peter? And for the other two bishops on the panel not to chime in and say, hey, oh, wait a minute, brother, oh, wait a minute, you're embarrassing us. You know, hold on, you're speaking out of turn here, go sit down somewhere. you know, for them not to chime in and say something just kind of maybe fix it up or something, you know, you can fix things up and say, you know, brother, let me just help you out on that, brother. You know, they said nothing, and because they did not say anything in response to this crazy statement that this man made, I'm just wondering, are maybe, perhaps, they illegitimate bishops as well? That's just a question I'm asking. I don't know, okay?
And the reason why they didn't chime in is because that's what the Full Gospel Baptist Association peddles. That's the Kool-Aid that they serve, that the entire organization and every bishop that's tied to that organization can trace their roots back to Peter. Paul Morton, the chief bishop in that organization, that's the Kool-Aid that he serves. And everyone under him, everyone on that panel has got to serve up the same Kool-Aid. You can't serve another kind of Kool-Aid. They must all serve the same Kool-Aid, that we can trace our lineage, all of us as a group, back to Peter.
I do not know. I also know that the same brother said, you know, not only through the line of Peter, the Apostle Peter, but through the Catholic Church. He said, mentioned to connection to the Catholic Church, you know, as a way of verification of the legitimacy of bishophood. Wait a minute now. I thought the whole point of being Protestant was that you're no longer Catholic.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, there are people out there who are thinking, I thought we were Protestants. I thought we were protesting the Roman Catholic Church. But you see, the black church is in bed with the Roman Catholic Church. And this has been my argument. This is why we're doing this 95 thesis. Because the black church, again, is in bed with the Roman Catholic Church. And they don't hide it.
Perhaps a little bit of church history, my brother, would help you out.
Thank you.
Y'all, thanks for tuning in. And be blessed.
Thank you for doing the video, and we are. We're all the better. We're all the better because of this 3-minute video. We're all the better. We're all the better. Well, dear saints, I have one more. Bear with me. Just bear with me.
And want to start your own ministry? Do you want to operate as a...
Here's an advertisement on YouTube. How to become an ordained bishop. The complete package for $50. Here it is. Become an ordained bishop for $50. And all you have to do is go to the website, www.masterprophetnoel.com. www.masterprophetnoel.com. Here it is.
Do you have a calling over your life and want to start your own ministry? Do you want to operate as a bishop and don't know where to turn? Hi, this is Master Prophet Noel inviting you to join my ministry and become an ordained bishop. Your ordination package includes ordained bishop certificate with church seal, ordained bishop ID card with church seal, 9 audio CDs on MP3 bishop training course, plus free shipping by priority mail. You also receive your own bishop seal logo with your name, your own bishop seal on business card, your own bishop seal on letterhead, plus the designs on CD for only $50. Come join my growing ministry and become an ordained bishop as I will equip you to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please call the Florida office at 1-954-639-3169 or visit the website at www.masterprophetnoel.com.
It's a pandemic. It's out of control. Well, saints, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow with another proposition. And as you can see, I mean, we're making our case. The purple plague, the scarlet fever, Nehushta dementia is rampant. God bless you.